This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد إن شاء الله تعالى this Ramadan, the post-Fajr series during the weekdays is going to be an approach to Asma Allah al-Husna. I need the projector and the slides up. I don't know where my broadcast team is, but they're probably snoozing somewhere. And I've done over the years, probably previous to the wellness years, a number of different series on Asma Allah al-Husna. They never really got properly recorded. And I wanted this year to actually kind of revamp it, go back and put it all together, and also offer an approach that may be a little bit different. At the same time, maybe it will offer a little bit more clarity to those who attend it. There is honestly no better topic to talk about than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's actually very intimidating to do it, to go over his glorious name subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to bring them close to people's understanding to the best of our ability. It's not a simple task at all. And what I'm going to do, inshallah ta'ala, is point out to you in this first session, give a little bit of an introduction to how we're going to do them, how we're going to go over the glorious names, and why it's important to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته أو رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. You find this verse repeated in the Quran three different times, in three different surahs. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we recited last night, where Ibrahim alayhi salam makes a dua, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Then again, in a few nights in Surah Al-Imran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ. The purpose of sending prophets, all three verses that talk about the purpose of why Allah sends prophets, always starts with يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ does not mean recite the verses of the book. No. It's to recite on people his signs. It's to recite on people his signs so that people know him. The point of reciting his signs is that the people who are listening to these prophets know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The number one purpose of all prophets throughout time was to explain to their people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is the critical, and this is the most critical and most crucial part of any faith historically, and of Islam specifically. It's understanding and knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Without that, there is almost no purpose, no point of doing anything else. Anything else you learn is really not valuable if you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least you're not on a path trying to understand and comprehend who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That's why when they took the famous ayah of Surah Al-Dhariyat, and you go and you look into the tafsir, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ, right? وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And you go and you follow around the tafsir of that verse, and you look at what Ibn Abbas said, and what Ikrimah said, and what Qatada said, and what the Dhahhak say. And you look at these older generation, the Sahaba and Tabi'een, and how they explained it, and they said, لِيَعْبُدُونَ here, their understanding of it is لِيَعْرِفُونَ, so that they may know me. لِيَعْبُدُونِ is لِيَعْرِفُونِ, so they may know me. Because at the end, that is the purpose of life. In so many words, in a very simple way, you're offered this consciousness, this awake period. You just open up your eyes and you're around, you're there. For very short periods, not very long. Yeah, it's a couple of laps around the sun and then you're done. But within that period of being awake, what you see around you is an amazing, massive universe. It's filled with a lot of beauty that you are offered the opportunity to be exposed to and to enjoy. But more importantly, you have the opportunity to understand, to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, to know the Creator. You have the opportunity to look around you and to figure out and understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that is the biggest, that is the greatest gift of all. It's just being able to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is before the lights are turned off again. Before it all shuts down, you have the opportunity to know Allah. You just get to know the magnificence and the beauty of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that is the purpose of why what we're here to do. And those who achieve that on the Day of Judgment, they're welcomed to certain places. And those who don't, I don't know what comes of them. But this is the beauty of what we are offered. Know Allah. No, take some time. You see all this? This everything around us that's created is there so you can know Him. So you can figure out who He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the beauty that is surrounding you, that we end up being extremely preoccupied by, distracted by, because it's so colorful and there's so much to see and to go. It's really there. So it points for you towards Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and gives you the opportunity to contemplate Him and understand. Because we don't have the ability to profoundly understand divinity or divineness. We just don't. Our minds are very limited by time and space. That's it. We can't understand anything outside of that. You'll spend the rest of your life trying to imagine something that does not have time projecting over it or does not exist within space. And you will fail, like everyone else before you. You can comprehend the basic idea and say, yeah, something must exist outside of that. There must be something. You can understand abstractly, philosophically, the basic idea of it. But you can't actually think about it. You can't actually understand it and comprehend it. So how is it that you're going to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very difficult. So it's impossible to understand the essence, but you're given the opportunity to figure out the nature, to figure out the attributes, to know the names, to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, ta'ala is in the best of your, to the best of your ability with the tools that are made available to you. And if you waste your time doing anything else, it's literally wasting your time doing anything else. Whatever you're doing that is not that is a waste of your time. That's why when in Islam, if you study within books of fiqh or usul, or books of tazkiyah, or general mawa'idh or tazkir, the books of targhib tarhib Imam al-Mundhiri or other, you'll find that when they want to talk about, you know, the scholars of old times, they'll call them al-arifun billah. Ibn Kathir in his tafsir uses this term over 1,000 times. Ibn Kathir in his tafsir just uses it 1,000 times, just talking about al-arifun billah, people who know about Allah. People who know. This is literally the al-arif. Arafa knows. Al-arifun, the ones who know. That's it. Just those. We all know about Allah. No. Knowing from knowing will differentiate. It is different. Not all knowing is the same. Sure, you can know superficially, have a word, have a little cliche, a slogan that you'll throw out at people. But then there's knowing. There's actually knowing and understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Quran does. Basically, most of the Quran is just doing that. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Ibrahim says, oh Allah, show me, how do you resurrect the dead? قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Why? You didn't believe yet. قَالَ بَلَى. No, I did. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But there's something, I don't understand how. Like, I want to know how. So he's told, خذ أربعة من الطير فصلهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا. Take a couple of birds, slaughter them, cut them up, take pieces, put them on different parts of mountains, and then go stand far away, and then call them to you. And I'll resurrect them for you and show you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And that's what you're going to learn from this. What you're going to learn from watching this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unfathomable and the all-wise. And I'll go through these names, inshallah, throughout the month for you to understand them so you actually comprehend what they're saying. In Surah Al-Ta'ala, you find this in the Quran. لِتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. So that you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of all, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed everything with His knowledge. Just all throughout the Mus'haf, this is what you're going to learn. You're going to learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent. You're going to learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed everything with His knowledge. Jalla jalalu. Jalla jalalullah. This is the purpose of us studying His names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, they both narrate with an authentic chain of narration. There you have the brothers and sisters in Gaza praying their Taraweeh, which is something for us to be inspired by. Where he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna lillahi tis'an wa tis'ina isman mi'ah illa wahid man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. There are 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 100 except one. Those who ahsaha, those who do ihsa of it, dakhil al-jannah, will enter the paradise. It's an important hadith to understand because it's quite often miscomprehended or misunderstood. First of all, the Arab, they use 99 to talk about something that is almost endless. That's how this is what they use the word for. It's not only within this within the context of Asma'ul Husna, but it's how the Arab speak. They use the word 99 to say it's something that keeps on going. And they use it just before 100, because 100 is a round number. If you say it's 100, it's 100. 99, there's no, nothing is 99. Everything is everything that they sell you that's 99 is never 90. It's always it's all a lie. So 99 is always there just to say that it just keeps on going and going and going. That's why he specifies, because he doesn't want, he actually says mi'a illa wahid, so to understand that he's saying 99 because it keeps on going. If you say it's 100 or close to 100, then you don't understand it. And this is the understanding of the majority of scholars of our ummah, that it's not 99 names. That is way more. That the number of names are actually way more. And the ihsa here is not memorization. As nice and interesting as that is, it's important maybe to know his name, subhanAllah, to memorize them, but that's not what it's meant by. It's the understanding of it, and then the ability to implement that which you understood of it. It's understanding the names, and then implementing the results or the consequence of understanding his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what the majority of Muslim scholars, historically, and until this day, understand this hadith to be. And it's a very important one to take on. Even the narration that you'll find, with all 99, there's a lot of controversy around its authenticity. So when you count the 99 names, you find these like big portraits you put on the walls in the homes. It's not every name there is exactly what. But that doesn't matter. What matters is you take time and you learn to the best of your ability his name, so understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The point is knowing Allah through his names, because how else are you going to know him? I can't describe him for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we understand things as human beings, we need descriptions. People who can articulate well and describe well are people who make definitions, and that's how we understand things. In every science, the better you can describe something in medicine, that's how it's all about. Diseases are understood if you can describe what they are. You can describe clearly the mechanism of how things happen and how it manifests itself. And the more you can describe something, the better defined it is, the more likely it is we can figure out what to do with it. And the less describable, everything in our lives is based on that. That's why Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'ana, khalaqa al-insana 'allamahu al-bayan. The first thing he taught him to speak, to articulate, to describe. How do I describe Allah? Can you describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you describe something you can't see, or you can't hear, you can't touch, you can't feel, you can't smell? He's subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond the realm of time and space that you live in. How do you describe him? So you know him through his names. So you know him subhanahu wa ta'ala through his name. So if you don't spend time understanding those names, there's something missing. And the reason that I'm saying that there's more than, forget, because I don't want you to wait, focus on numbers. The focus on numbers is a problem we have, and I don't want you to get caught up with the number. The point of it is saying that there's an infinite number of his names. And we know that because the hadith of Imam Ahmad, where the Prophet ﷺ makes the dua, يَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ, I ask you by every name that is yours. أَنْزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ, I ask you by every name that is yours, whether you put that name in your book, or you taught that name to one of your creation that I don't know about, or a name that you just held on for yourself, a name that is yours that you did not share with any of your creation. Isn't that the dua we make at the end of Ramadan at the khatm? This is the dua we make. You ask Allah by all of his names. And the reason that we do that is because subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that in the Quran. This is the وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, in Surah Al-A'raf, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجَزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious names. So call him by those names. The point is that you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the name, and then you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that name. You understand now, because Allah's names are not Western names, where it's just a word that has no meaning to it. No. Most Arab names, by the way, have meanings. So when you end up explaining to someone that my name is this, and this is what it actually means, it's always kind of weird to them because they don't understand names that have actual meanings. But when you talk about it, when you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're calling upon him by a name that you understand now. Something you understand about him that is meaningful to you. And you call him through the وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, leave those who have lost their belief through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by denying his names. Those who deny his attributes and deny his name, leave them. They don't know. Those who don't understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is have no description of him because they don't know his names, leave them. They will be. So what is the approach? The approach is these 12 categories. This is not my, I can't take credit for this effort. This is the effort of Dr. Tariq Sudan's lab. This is maybe 10 years, 15 years old, this effort. It's a group of people, students of knowledge and a number of scholars. They put the effort to categorize his names, to categorize them. The reason that they're categorized is just to make them easier to comprehend. That's the only point of doing this. It's easier for you to understand. Put them in groups so you understand what these names are trying to do. And what I'm going to do this year is I'm going to take each category and then explain one or two names from each category. So sometimes it'll be one ninth will be maybe one. I'll share these slides. So don't, it's fine. I'll put them in the group. Inshallah, you can watch. I update them as I go along, so you can see them. Inshallah, ta'ala, and you can have this slide. And we'll just kind of, instead of going through names sporadically or spontaneously or just all over the place, we'll make sure that here's the first category. Here's what it talks about, and here's today's name. I'll go through one name one day, another day another name, or maybe just one name from each category. There's 12 categories in total. There's only 21 to 22 dars here, so I can't do two names from each category. Maybe most of them will just have one name. But it just helps us understand a little bit more what it is that we're trying to talk about here. The first category, to attributes of divine judgment. It talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the one who gives out judgment or makes judgment. And the fact that his judgment subhanahu wa ta'ala is divine, so the names like Al-Hakim, he's all-wise, which is what is required for that, or Al-Haqq, or Al-Muqsit, or Al-Adil, talking about his judgment subhanahu wa ta'ala that occurs on the day of judgment, and that is divine in nature. Attributes of provision, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who offers Al-Razzaq, Wal-Fattah, Wal-Wahhab, the names that have within them the concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides, whether he provides in dunya, or provides in akhirah, or in both. Each name will have a different aspect or different specificity to how it's connected to the concept of provision. Attributes of support and aid, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mujib, al-hafidh, al-mateen, al-wakil, as-salam, that which is offered to people in terms of supporting them, or aiding them, or protecting them, or keeping them safe, etc., etc., etc. The names that have within them that these categorizations are there to bring the name closer to you, so that you understand how it affects you, or what aspect of that name is going to be relevant to your story. Because that's how you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by seeing the name and understanding what that name also means to you. Because obviously it has different layers, and some of it is just understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, but what does it do for you? Attribute or names of granting self-renewal, which offers people the al-ghaffar, al-ghafoor, al-afu, meaning the names that offer you a chance to start over again. The names that give you that opportunity or that possibility of, if things weren't working today, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will offer you the ability to renew yourself and to hit the reset button and go back and do things better, which is what inshallah Ramadan offers us. The names of presence, then al-wasi', al-hayy, al-qayyum, al-awwal, al-akhir, al-zahir, al-batin, the names of his presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's always there, jalla jalaluhu, in whatever manner that he is there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because physically that's not the case, but he is present, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's a lot of names that talk about his presence, and what that presence looks like, in the number of names, and we'll talk about a few of them, inshallah. Attributes or names of domination, malik al-mulk, al-quddus, al-wahid, al-ahad, names that talk about his dominance, that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, controls all. Everything is subdued by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing that goes beyond his ability to encompass, jalla jalaluhu. Names of correctional control. So this is where when you make a mistake, there are names that are, the point of them is that they'll bring you back. Meaning there'll be some, there's a little bit of, what's dealt out is going to be a bit painful, but it's there to correct behavior. Is there to give you a reminder. It's there to offer you salvation, offer you the opportunity to repent. It deals out some pain so that you are forgiven, so that you're woken up. And the names in there, that's why you'll find Al-Qahhar, Al-Qabid, Al-Mu'akhir, Al-Mani', Al-Dar, Al-Muntaqim, Al-Jabbar. A lot of names that have that piece of them, that concept of Jalal, that concept of strength. And when you look at the names like Al-Nafi', Al-Dar, really what they are, they're a name of positive control and correctional control. That's what those two names are. We usually don't call him by one of them without the other, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reason that you have both of them, al-muqaddim, al-mu'akhir, al-muqaddim, positive control, the one after it, a names of positive control, nafi', al-barr, al-jami', al-muqaddim, and then al-mu'akhir, he holds something back, it's correctional control. He'll reward you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's positive control. And then he'll punish you, or he'll hold something back from you, and that's correctional control. And either or is for our benefit at the end of the day. The names of accountability, Al-Khabir, Al-Alim, Al-Sami', Al-Basir, where we know that we're going to be accountable Yawm Al-Qiyamah through understanding that these names exist. Names of creation, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari', Al-Musawwir, Al-Badi'. Names that talk about the fact that he created and the essence of his creation, how is not the scientific how, it's more of the spiritual how. And names of highness and grace, Al-Muta'ali, Al-Majid, Al-Azim, Al-Majid, names that talk about his highness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference between creation and between creator. And the final group is attributes or names of tenderness and compassion, Al-Shakur, Al-Kareem, Al-Wadud, Al-Barr, Al-Rahim. The names that talk about that compassionate part of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the 12 categories of understanding his names. Within each category, there are, I call them umbrella names, but they're general names and specific names. They're names that, under them, a lot of other names exist. Al-Alim, for example, the omniscient. And then under his name, Al-Alim, you have Al-Sami' and Al-Basir and Al-Khabir, Al-Latif, Al-Raqib. All these names exist under because they all talk about specific aspects of that knowledge that allow you to comprehend a little bit more. He's the all-hearing. You hear. He hears differently, but he hears. He hears it all, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good that you say and the bad that you say. Not through an eardrum. Not through a mechanical plus neurological system of hearing. No, but he hears. And he's all-hearing, unlike you. You can only hear certain frequencies. You can only hear it if it's far, a certain distance. He hears it all, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understanding that piece. Why do we do this? What's the point of all this? Yes, knowing him, but what's the point of so that you may live through his names. And tahya bi asma'ihi. This is the purpose. To live through his names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kareem, or you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-raheem, or you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mutakabbir, each of these names allows you the opportunity to live through these names, to live your life and behave in a certain way while understanding that these names. These names have impact on us. They have an effect on how we live our lives and how we see the world. And honestly, everything, this is where it begins and this is where it ends. When I talk to you about his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing that really goes beyond it. Like, understanding your deen, this is as far as, this is all you need. You just need to understand who your Lord is. And if you fully comprehend who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then you'll live your life just every moment you're living with a different name. That's all it is. Because every moment in your life, you're exposed to a different name. Right now, you have Al-Razzaq. Later on, Al-Tawwab. Later on, Al-Wahhab. Later on, Al-Mu'akhir. Later on, Al-Mani'. After that, you're living with his names. You're living with his name Al-Ghafoor. You're living with his name Al-Qahhar. Every moment, you are exposed to an understanding of one of his names. The verses are recited in Surah Al-Fajr and Surah Al-Fatir, where he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Right? At the beginning of that verse, or these two verses, I'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala. This will be between, I always say it's going to be 20 minutes, it's never 20 minutes, but yeah, and it'll be something around that, yeah, something around 30 or 30-something. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. You didn't see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended from the sky's water. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ ثَمَرَاتٍ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهَا. And from that we extracted from the earth fruits or plants, مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهَا, with different species and different types. أَلْوَانُهَا is not colors. At least, most of the time it isn't. In Arabic, alwan means different types. Sometimes different colors are different types. That's why we use that to describe a color. But most of the time it's just a different species. مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهَا. وَمِنَ الْجِبَالِ جُدَدٌ بِيضٌ وَحُمْرٌ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهَا وَغَرَابِيبُ سُودٌ. And from mountains, when you look at the rock, you will find types of rock that are white and some that are red. Different species and different natures. وَغَرَابِيبُ سُودٌ. And some will be volcanic black. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And from human beings. وَالدَّوَابِّ. And animals. وَالْأَنْعَامِ. Livestock. مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ كَذَلِكَ. You'll find different races and different cultures and different species and different colors and different types. And then he says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Exclusively, the ones who truly revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the scholars or the scientists, however you want to explain or accept this word. Exclusively, the ones who revere Allah are the ulama. Why? What's the word right after it? إن الله عزيز غفور. إن الله عزيز غفور. The unfathomable and the all-forgiving. It's because to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to know Him through what He left for you. You have to know Him through His creation. Those who look at His creation understand it. Those who study how water, how the same type of water, how all water is the same. One origin of water creates all of this diversity of fruit and food and people and animals that are different species and different types and different cultures. They look differently, function differently, but they all come from that same magical elixir water. When you see that, you know, it helps you understand what He made. You see, those who truly revere Allah are the ones who understand what He did, what He actually made. Their comprehension of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is a much higher level. It's much higher. Yes, if you study his book and you study his, you'll understand Allah. But you'll understand Allah better if you comprehend what He did. See, the more you understand what He did, the more you understand what was created, what actually exists, the detail of it, how it all intricately works with one another. When you understand that, you truly revere Him. Your level of reverence is unparalleled because you get it. You get it. You're staring through that microscope and, what is this? It's a kingdom within a... It's a cell that will be scratched off one day in the morning. It'll just fly off like nothing. No one even notices it. It's just dandruff that's flying and it has no weight. It's a kingdom. There are systems that are working with one another, enzymes and receptors and openings, and we have barely scratched the surface of understanding what's actually happening inside there. The more you comprehend this, the more you understand what He did. So you revere Him. And what you end up doing is knowing that He is Al-Aziz Al-Ghafoor. That's Inna Allah Aziz Al-Ghafoor. You'll know Him through His names. And you understand His names when you understand what He made, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names is the single most important thing that you'll do in your life. And that's, technically, or to a certain degree, why I've talked about this many times in the past. I've done this year over year. I've tried to, and I can't really get away from it because that's our job. Our job is yatlu alayhim ayatihi. I have to recite upon you His signs. I have to tell you who He is, or else what's the point of telling you to obey Him and to love Him and to draw yourself close to Him and to supplicate Him? If you supplicate the one you don't understand, or you don't know, or you don't comprehend, if you're asking forgiveness from someone that you don't know anything about, or you're asking for Him to give you, and you don't understand exactly who He is to begin with, or then there's something missing. That relationship is... Kings don't allow people into their court if they don't understand the etiquette of being in the court. If they don't understand the status of themselves, they're not allowed in the court. And if they come into the court of the king, and they misspeak, or they don't know how to present themselves, or they speak to the king in a way that does not reflect his status, they're thrown out of his court. And that's the court of dunya, the kings of dunya. With Malik al-Mulk subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the same thing. You want to enter into his court, and you want to speak to him, and you want to build a relationship, you have to know who you're talking to. You have to know very well who it is that you're talking to, so you know how to speak, and you know what to say, and you know what to expect. It puts us in our place in a beautiful way, not in an ugly way. In dunya, when you're put in your place, usually it means someone humiliated you or someone actually put you down. Because we're all equal at the end. There's no place for me to put you in or for you to put me in. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the arifun, they know where they stand. They know the actual difference between the creation and the creator. And it's a beautiful difference if you comprehend it well. It's actually very beautiful. And it allows you to express yourself in a meaningful way. It allows you to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is correct. That's why you hear the Prophet alayhi salam. You ever listen to him make dua? Ya man la tarahu al-ayun wa la tukhalituhu al-dhunun. Oh, the one whose eyes cannot see and minds cannot comprehend. Ya man ya'lamu mathaqil al-jibal wa makayil al-bihar wa adada qatr al-amtar وعدد ورق الأشجار وعدد ما أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار. Or the one, oh, the one who knows the weight of the mountains, the amount of water in the seas, knows how much rain comes from the sky and how many leaves are on trees and how many things the sun will rise upon and how many things the sun will set upon. That's how he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayhi salatu wa salam. Because he, يَا مَنْ لَا تُوَارِي مِنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءً وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا وَلَا بَحْرٌ مَا فِي قَعْرِهِ وَلَا جَبَلٌ مَا فِي وَعْرِهِ. Oh, the one, nothing is hidden from him. A sama does not block him from seeing the sama after it. A planet will not block the planet after it. Nothing under the mountain is hidden from you. Nothing in the middle, on the floor of the ocean is hidden from you. أسألك أن تجعل خير عمري آخرة. اللهم آمين. Allah, make the last day of my, last part of my life the best. That's how he wants to say that at the end, alayhi salatu wasalam. He wants to say that, Ya Rabb, make the best part of my life to the end. So I have husn al-khatima. But he knows who he's speaking to, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you look at the munajah that he made, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the scholars who did it after him, you understand that these people understood who they were talking to. They had that connection. And that's done through understanding his Asma al-Husna. And that is what we're going to be covering, inshallah ta'ala, throughout the weekdays of this month. I'll be going through a name every morning, inshallah ta'ala. On weekdays, we'll cover maybe 20 names in total, because those are the number of days that we have. On weekends, inshallah ta'ala, I will do tafsir of Surah Al-Ra'd. I usually choose a surah that's not too long and not too short, and something that we can get through over 8 sessions, yani, on weekends, just because a lot of people who can't come on weekdays, they can only come on weekends. So I'll have a series to follow that is uninterrupted, inshallah, for their benefit, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanakallah bihamdika shalla la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.